from 90.7 WFAE. This is Newsworthy for Wednesday, December 10th, 2025. I'm Eric Thiel. Charlotte City Council voted Monday night to approve a $3.4 million contract with a Texas-based public relations firm to market its transit system. The Sherry Matthews Group will work with the Charlotte Area Transit System on ads, branding, public relations, and crisis communications. State regulators are holding a public hearing on Duke Energy's proposal to combine its two Carolina companies, Duke Energy Carolinas and Duke Energy Progress. Duke Energy merged with Progress Energy in 2012. If approved, Duke Energy Carolinas would assimilate Duke Energy Progress and operate as a fully integrated single utility. Duke Energy estimates the business combination would save customers $1 billion over time. The combination itself would cost approximately $143 million. Mecklenburg County commissioners are facing increasing uncertainty for behavioral health services funding heading into the new year. Division Director Dr. Cotrain Penn told commissioners Tuesday afternoon that the North Carolina General Assembly's failure to pass a state budget, combined with requirements in the Trump administration's tax and spending bill, put the state's Medicaid expansion at risk. That's in part because of a trigger law that automatically cuts Medicaid expansion in North Carolina. More than 347,000 people in Mecklenburg County receive health coverage from Medicaid. The Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools Board of Education officially welcomed four new members at its Tuesday night meeting. James Farrell has more.
Six of the nine seats on the board were up for grabs this past November, and four new board members won. Charlita Hatch in District 1, Shamaya Haynes in District 2, Cynthia Stone in District 5, and Anna London in District 6. Those members were sworn in Tuesday, along with incumbent board members Stephanie Sneed and Dee Rankin. Haynes, a longtime education advocate in West Charlotte, is replacing outgoing board member Thelma Byers-Bailey. She acknowledged times during her advocacy that she and other board members didn't see eye to eye.
So I think it's important to say that if we keep the number one, which is the success of children in CMS, and hopefully parents will be satisfied with the work that we do, we will always be solid partners.
Sneed and Rankin were reelected as the board's chair and vice chair. It's the first time in recent history that the CMS board has been made up entirely of Democrats. James Farrell, WFAE News.
At the meeting, the Board of Education also extended the contract of Superintendent Crystal Hill and approved a raise of around $22,500. But the raise is contingent on the state's General Assembly approving pay raises for teachers. The original contract was set to expire in June of 2028, but has been extended to June of 2029. And Hill's pay will increase to $340,770 per year. The increase will take effect when the state approves a teacher raise, but will be retroactive to December 1st. A student at Ardrey Kell High School is suing the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Board of Education after CMS initially claimed that her painting of the Ardrey Kell Spirit Rock in honor of slain conservative activist Charlie Kirk amounted to vandalism. The lawsuit claims the unnamed junior had permission to paint the rock. Her painting included the message, "Live like Kirk," along with a Bible verse. But after the painting appeared, Principal Susan Nichols sent a message to parents claiming the painting was vandalism and that law enforcement was investigating, claims the district later walked back. The student claims the district censored her speech and falsely accused her of misconduct. CMS says it can't comment on active litigation. Flu season is in full swing. Local hospitals are implementing visitor restrictions to reduce spread of the illness. Kenneth Lee has more.
Atrium Health will implement temporary visitor restrictions starting Wednesday at its hospitals, including emergency departments, inpatient hospice, and acute care facilities. Officials said visitors with respiratory symptoms are asked not to visit. Children 12 and younger may not enter patient care areas unless approved by the clinical team. Caremont Health is also implementing visitor restrictions. The hospital system said visitors must be at least 13 years old and have no respiratory symptoms to be approved. Kenneth Lee, WFAE News.
The country's largest real estate listings site, Zillow, has removed its climate risk ratings. The feature showed a home's vulnerability to extreme weather, such as wildfires, wind, and heat. Zillow pulled that data from FirstStreet.org, a nonprofit climate risk assessor. Listings now link directly to First Street's website for people who still want to check the risk. David Greer, D.G. Martin Jr., a former University of North Carolina System Vice President, congressional candidate, lawyer, and host of UNC-TV's North Carolina Book Watch for two decades, has died. The Charlotte Observer reports Martin passed away Tuesday with his wife by his side after a battle with melanoma. Martin twice ran for a Charlotte-based seat in Congress in the 1980s before shifting into higher education, where he became a top official in the University of North Carolina system and later its chief legislative liaison. After leaving that role in the late 1990s and losing a bid for the U.S. Senate, he spent decades as a weekly columnist and host of North Carolina Book Watch on PBS. D.G. Martin was 85. You probably know what it's like to repeatedly ask a coworker to get you something, like a document or maybe an email address, and that person just kind of ignores you. Or maybe a coworker constantly makes errors affecting your ability to do your own job. It's frustrating, right? Well, some federal judges are feeling frustrated with attorneys at the North Carolina Department of Justice over the same sort of thing. And the consequences can be more significant than a bit of irritation, like the delay of a trial by more than a year in one case. Jeffrey Billman is one of the reporters who has written about it for the Assembly and spoke with our Marshall Terry.
You start your piece with U.S. Magistrate Judge Robert Numbers II. Who is he and what exactly is he frustrated by?
Judge Numbers is a magistrate judge, and they're essentially appointed to assist federal district judges, who are the judges that are confirmed by the Senate. And Judge Numbers has been frustrated by a section of the State Department of Justice that handles a couple departments of the state government, the State Bureau of Investigation, the Department of Adult Correction, prisons, and also Department of Public Safety, the State Highway Patrol. And they defend them when these departments get sued. Most of their litigation has to do with lawsuits filed by prisoners.
And what sorts of things are these attorneys doing that frustrate Numbers and other judges?
They miss deadlines, or they sort of just misinterpret instructions, or they are sloppy, or they mishandle discovery. On their own, these things would be kind of forgiven, but they happen so often that judges throughout the state really have, over the last 5 years, gotten very upset with this section. They fine them, they've lashed out at them in written orders. Judge Numbers finally just had it, and he issued this order in October that called out the entire section and called out the Department of Justice for not reining them in.
So how do these attorneys who keep getting called out explain their performance?
What they've said is that they are overworked. The section is under-resourced. There are a lot of prisoner lawsuits. In 2017, when Governor Stein had just become Attorney General, the General Assembly cut a very significant amount of the Department of Justice's budget. Essentially, the public safety section has been hamstrung ever since, and they've been struggling to keep up. One of the sort of side effects of that, it's been really hard for them to keep good attorneys in that section. It's also been really hard to find managers to do it because the managers themselves have high caseloads.
Governor Josh Stein was head of the State Justice Department before becoming governor earlier this year when he was attorney general. What does he and current Attorney General Jeff Jackson say about all this? And is there any effort to rectify it?
Governor Stein basically told us that this was a resource issue, that the General Assembly didn't provide resources. They appealed for more money year after year and didn't get it. Attorney General Jeff Jackson, who took office in January, essentially one of the things that Judge Numbers ordered in October, basically said, you have to fix this or I'm going to do it. He gave him until December 1st to come up with a plan. Jeff Jackson basically told him, look, here's what we're going to try and do. One of the things was he said, we're going to bring in former state Supreme Court Justice Barbara Jackson, is going to provide some supervision. He said he'd overhaul the section's leadership. They fired one of the attorneys who had really made Judge Numbers angry. He said he was putting in more quality control measures and he was going to reduce caseloads and do some stuff like that. But again, he goes back to throughout his response to this order, that there are still some outstanding resource issues that they can't get around.
So what happens next then? Just waiting until the resources are there?
You know, I don't know that the resources are going to be there. This wasn't in either the House or Senate's proposed budget, the $3 million that the Department of Justice asked for. It's really not something I don't think the legislature thinks is necessary in the way that the Department of Justice thinks is necessary. So I'm not sure this is something that's going to happen anytime soon.
Okay, thanks for walking us through that.
I appreciate it.
That's reporter Jeffrey Billman.
And for Wednesday, December 10th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.